We're doing Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home, and we're holding at the end of the fifth chapter, which is basically the end of Pirkei Avot. We had learned Yudav and Tema said, "Be brazen like a leopard, light like an eagle, swift as a deer, brave as a lion to do the will of your Father in heaven." But we had said that Yudav and Tema really teaches us that every trait can be used in the service of heaven. It's just a question of channeling it. And by the same token, we said, within marriage, too, one can take any trait and channel it properly and use it as a positive trait in marriage. Hu haya omer Yehuda ben Tema, he used to say, az panim legeinom. A person who is brazen, who's has chutzpah, he will end up in perdition. These are the concluding remarks of Pirkei Avot. Uvoshet panim legan Eden. And a person who has shame will end up in the Garden of Eden. So,
the person has what?
Shame. So this is a very important point. shame is viewed as a positive thing. When a person can be embarrassed, when a person can see their own faults, that's one of the greatest assets in a marriage. One of the most difficult things to live with is someone who's always right. Someone who is az panim, who is in your face. Hey, I say so, I will say so, I said so. A person can gauge himself. Look at how you say the word I. What tone comes in the word I when we say I?
That term.
It tells us a lot about ourselves. You say something, you say, you know, I remember last year this Shabbos was broiling hot. And your wife says, well, actually, no, it wasn't. And you say, I remember that we didn't have air conditioning and we were suffering in the heat and it was Shabbos Parshas Chukas. And I was thinking about how the red heifer must have turned red from heat. And I made this joke about red coals. And your wife says, honey, you're dreaming. That's not what happened. Now, it sounds silly, right? But very often, arguments are about pointless things. She says that, you said that. Now, if we were mature, we'd like to think that we'd say, okay. But we don't. We get very uptight. Wait a second, but I told you it was this way. And she says, and I told you it wasn't. Now, this is where you have to ask yourself, what tone do you say, but I said, maybe you shouldn't say it at all. But if you do say it, listen very closely how you say the word I. The Mishnah tells us something. Az panim legeinom. There's an attitude that paves the path to perdition. Az panim, one who's brazen in his face, in his attitude. And there's an attitude that paves the way to the Garden of Eden. Uvoshet panim. Now, Chazal didn't mean that a person should always be trampled over. But there is an attitude. And that's a choice we make. If a person's willing to accept things, and accept things when they're right. Meaning, sometimes you'll be right in an argument. Does that mean you have to win? Why does it matter? If it's a matter of ego, then everything matters. If one can have a healthy ego, then the person's willing to say, I'm wrong. Because when there's an unhealthy ego, so then if I'm wrong, then what am I worth? But when there's a healthy ego, then I have worth even if I'm wrong. So then I could live with the fact I'm wrong. A healthy ego allows us to look at life and say, no, I'm wrong. Listen to any conversation. When people are talking, ask yourself, how quickly do you interject with something that pertains to yourself? How quickly does that conversation have to include me? When people say something, how quickly do you think they're talking about you? All of us at some point think that people are talking about us. You walk up to Misrad HaPnim and they tell you you need this form from the south. So the next morning you drive down to the south. You come to the south, you took off a whole day to get that form. and they tell you, I'm sorry, you couldn't come here without the form from the Mishrad HaPnim in Jerusalem. So you look at her and you say, why couldn't they tell me that yesterday? And she says, I don't know, they should have. Now you get upset at her, did she do anything wrong? You come back to the Jerusalem office and they say, I don't know why they weren't willing to process you down in the south, because you don't really need this form to process the form they needed. But if they wanted, you know, we'll give it to you. And you say, you know, I killed a day yesterday. Why couldn't you give me this form yesterday? Let's stop for a second. Did they do something against you? Yeah. Are you going to resolve anything? The fact that you bit the bullet doesn't mean they did something against you. They might not be professional. They might have an office that's not running properly. They might have wasted your time. But it's not personal. There's a system that's defunct. There's a problematic system here. But no one sat there and said to themselves, when he walks in, ooh, I'm going to do him in. I'm going to waste his time tomorrow. Or it could be that the system is not set up correctly. It's so funny how all of you empathize with the story.
Yeah. But sorry, because we know it. We have this feeling, all of us have this feeling with this other thing that's like, right? Yeah, but at least for anyone who doesn't have this case.
The Rav maybe should use a different example.
We don't
care about you at all. You go to marriage to some girl, you come back in 2 months. You're like, dude, that's not an answer. Like, who says this?
They're terrible.
You see, but listen to that. You hate the people because the system isn't good. They don't have anything personal against you. You see, everyone here has the same experience.
Oh, yeah.
But look at what happened. We take it personally.
But isn't it like a slave mentality? Say, you know, this is Israel. You cannot change it.
Oh, no. I didn't say you can't change it. I didn't say you can't change it. Wait, but you could change it.
But it's an excuse that Israelis use.
Is wait.
They say it's Israel.
Wait, let's make a say to him.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll make the change by standing at Mishrad HaPnim yelling at the poor girl behind the counter?
No.
Is that how you'll accomplish a change?
No, we go to Israel.
Or will you make a change by you being an example and he being an example and every one of us trying to create a system that's more positive and moving forward?
Their boys might say, oh, everybody's ticked off at us. We gotta change something.
Let me ask you a question. You know, I'll tell you a story from my experience. We live in Kochav Yaakov. We have excellent bus service, Baruch Hashem. At the busy hours of the day, we have every 12 minutes, we have a bus. Up until half a year ago, we had buses that had storage space for carriages. Very good, because most people come on with a carriage. About a half a year ago, they decided they're switching. They're giving us inner-city buses. Those buses have zero protection against rocks.
No.
So a rock can go... Okay, you understand. Just 1 second. And they have no storage for carriages. So what happens now is the bus fills and the aisleway is filled with carriages. And you board the bus and you can't get through. And carriages are bumping into people. And people are super annoyed. And it's really hard. And if you're one of those people, sometimes you're boarding a bus with three kids and there's no room for your carriage on the bus. So now everyone's annoyed on the bus. And everyone spends their time talking about how terrible Egged and how terrible their service is. So along comes little old me and asks a question. Did you write a letter to the Ministry of Transportation? No. So what are you doing? You're yelling at the bus driver who has zero impact on the situation. He doesn't decide which bus he brings here. The Ministry of Transportation made a decision. Every guy sitting on that bus is suffering from it, right? We're all suffering. Even if you're without a carriage, you can't get through the bus. You have yelling back and forth because people get hit and people are on... Why is that different? You have a problem with Mishrad HaPnim? Did you write a letter?
It's not sitting in an office. They can call somebody, they can fax somebody, they can do something. They cannot just say, oh, you need to get that form from there. They can call and this and that and get a fax. They can do something. The bus driver cannot change the bus.
Wait, you let's
make
say.
The aisle bigger.
Let's say this person at Mishrad HaPnim was improper to you. Why don't you write a letter? Why don't you take her name and write a letter.
That's mean.
Would you do that?
Why is that mean? I'm sorry. I take the time to compliment people who give good service. When I have a good phone representative, I ask for their manager and I say, can I talk to your boss? I'd like to tell him what great service he gave me. And I'll tell the boss, you know, it's because of people like this I stay with your company. But if I get someone who's going to get in the way and make me trouble and waste days of my life, so then I think I have a right to call and say, look, this is what I've been through. I think you guys have to fix something in your system. But by yelling at her, I've got nothing done. She's not going to change from you yelling at her.
Yeah, but she keeps her job, and then you can even start putting quietly, and then everybody gets by.
Look, I was on a bus where the driver decided not to stop at my house. So he's driving, and he doesn't stop. And I say to him, I'm sorry, I rang the bell. He says, no, you didn't. I said, not only did I ring the bell, but when I came to ring the bell, it was already rung by the woman behind me who also gets off at this stop. But I made sure the bell was rung. He said, I'm sorry. I said, then why don't you stop now? He said, I don't feel like it, and kept driving. So I said, what do you mean you don't feel like it? The bell was rang. You were supposed to stop. You didn't stop the stop. He said, sorry. And dropped me off 10-minute walk from my house. So I took down his license plate. I took down his name. I took down his information. I posted a complaint. He's never been seen on that route again. Well, I was contacted by Egged. They wanted all the information. I gave them all the information. I don't have that driver again. I take that bus every night. Why shouldn't I post a complaint? The guy decided to vandalize, to waste my time. He went against his job. His job is to do a certain service. Okay, so he has an answer as to why he did that. Let him answer his bosses. I'm entitled to post the complaint.
Yes, I
know. Yeah, you pay. Yeah.
Why not? So if you really feel that someone wronged you and you'd write a letter, maybe he wouldn't be wrong. Maybe the next day wouldn't be wrong. But if you yell at the guy behind the counter, I don't think you're accomplishing anything. Yeah, if you come here and everyone calls it Misrat Al Hapanim, you guys barely know 10 jokes in Hebrew, but that's one everyone knows. Why? Did any of you actually take the time to write a letter to a minister of the Knesset? Why? Oh, so but you do believe in complaining? So that's what I'm saying. The Mishnah tells us there's an attitude. I don't have to be brazen towards the person. I don't have to choose to express my anger to them. If I'm really bothered, I can be humble, and I can still react and try to get change. Yes?
I was just wondering, this ties in with the Jewish home thing, the issue of writing a letter or complaining.
No, I'll tell you why. My point is that when we are faced with an obstruction, mm-hmm. so then we decide to take it personally. Yes. As panim, that reaction of being brazen, of yelling at the guy behind the counter, is a reaction that says, you hurt me, with the capital, I am upset at you. And it's not only the person behind the counter that's going to get yelled at, it's going to be the same thing when your wife dares do something that crosses you. Whereas if a person can be boshet panim, that doesn't mean a person won't act. If a person is willing to put his head down and say, okay, I'm bothered, I'm embarrassed, I'm hurt, that doesn't mean I'll be brazen towards the other person. I can still act. I don't have to, you know, when I called to post the complaint, I didn't yell at the guy at the other end. I said, it's very unfortunate. This is what happened. And I'd like you guys to post the complaint.
I was saying that there is a ladder, there's a suitable ladder for this. It's not like acting, like shooting from the hip, acting in anger or thinking. Like,
right.
I'm, like my feelings.
I'm saying boshet panim doesn't mean inaction. Boshet panim means there's a form to the action. I don't have to be brazen. I don't have to be angry. I can be hurt. I can be bothered. And then if I don't take it personally, if I look at it from a perspective of let's accomplish a better world, like you said, let's not give up on society. Let's make this a better place. So then it's not an issue of me. As panim, it's all about me. How dare you? So then I'll stand there for 20 minutes yelling at the bus driver, this is a chutzpah, you have some nerve, you skipped my stop, how dare you do that? Everyone here on the bus saw it, everyone knows you, I pushed the stops. There were people who did that on the bus. There were people who got very upset, they all saw what happened. I didn't see a point to that. But I did see a point of taking down the information, and then I went to the other woman who came off the bus, and I said to her, you know, we were both here. We both saw what happened. If we both post the complaint, they won't be able to ignore it. I'm saying I see it all the time. That people will stand there and yell, but they won't do anything. You have a whole bus of people suffering. I asked them when everyone was yelling, I said, stop, guys, can I ask a question? Did anyone here post the letter? I did. I wrote to Ayed. I called the head of transportation. I'm also bothered, but I might as well do something real about it. Yelling at the bus driver isn't going to get me anywhere.
Can
I
get
what?
Horrible saying, don't get mad, get even.
But it's not his fault. What I'm doing is, that's Azpanim. When I do that, I'm just going to let off my steam and show my anger and my brazenness. Then it's all about me. Mm. It has nothing to do with accomplishing anything.
No, but okay. Here's the problem, though. It's, okay, let's say I write a complaint and then that girl gets in trouble. So she might, or whatever, the bus driver, that person might lose their parnasa. Whereas in this case, okay, fine, I'm ticked off. Whatever, he still has to keep his job, and I am inconvenienced a little bit, and then I hope I don't have to go back to Ishadapanim. So, but you know,
I don't think it's that way. I think that if a person wastes other people's time, then they're not only wasting yours, they're wasting everyone's time. And they should have to stand up. I'm not sure that should be my concern. I think that everyone else needs to have their time saved. You know how many people leave this country because they're so fed up with this type of thing? Or like Daniel said, this is Israel. What do you expect? What do you mean, what do I expect? I expect people to care. I want to end with one quick story. There's a whole book called This Wouldn't Happen in Chutzlarts. This Wouldn't Happen Outside Israel. And the book is filled with beautiful stories. So I just want to tell you one such story. A person I know went to have an ultrasound. They were nearing the end of the pregnancy. And the woman in the ultrasound room said, you know, I think you have to go see your gynecologist right now. The woman didn't tell her what she saw. She went to the other room, called the gynecologist, and said, I need you to break the news to them that the baby's not going to live. So she wrote what she saw in the ultrasound, put it in a sealed envelope, and told the woman, I called your gynecologist. She ends her shift in a half hour, but she's going to wait for you. She's waiting for you there. Go there now. Okay? So the woman goes over to the gynecologist. The gynecologist sits down with her and tells her, look, I'm very sorry to break the news to you, but the woman from the ultrasound saw that A and B and C are vital organs that are missing from the baby. The baby at this stage is not going to develop them, and the baby either will die in utero or shortly after delivery, and there's nothing that can be done at this point. So obviously the woman was very distraught and hurt, etc. 2 days later, there's a phone call in her house. The ultrasound woman was calling to hear how she was doing. She didn't know who she was. She sat down, she took down the woman's name and number. After she sent it to the gynecologist, she looked up where she could get this woman's number. And after she tracked her down, she waited, and she wanted to call her. You know, she was the one who actually saw it. She wanted to see how she was doing. So that's a person who cares. And I don't know if that would happen anywhere else. That's because people do care. So there are problems in the system here, and there are benefits in the system here. And if we want to make it a better system, we don't have to get angry, and we don't have to get even, but we do have to take active, positive moves that will help the system improve.
It is said that the